My goal is to not have a 4-hour session because that kills everyone. And
let's shoot for an hour and a half if possible.
And I have a D&D session in 10 hours that I have to get up and go to.
You're young.
All right. All right. You're done.
Okay. So welcome to Circulus, my ongoing homebrew campaign. I am Crash, also known as Aaron. I am your friendly neighborhood GM. Although we all know that DMs/GMs are never actually friendly. We bring hatred and malice upon the world. That is our job. And with me, as always, are the friendly, happy people, including Eric. Eric, who are you playing?
Hello, folks. I am Obey Metalcaster. I am a orc. I'm a dwarf cleric.
And we also have Tom. Tom, who are you playing?
I play Punkarum Darkstone, a lovable deep gnome barbarian.
He said lovable.
He is lovable.
And we also have Logan. Logan, who are you playing?
I am Phoenix. I am a dragonborn paladin with no last name.
And last but not least, temporarily, we also have Chris. Chris, who are you playing?
I am playing Vex Saron, the half-elf ranger, and I'm the only one that's sane in this group.
I roll to disbelieve.
I'm Vex, the...
You trash-talked an ancient green dragon in the last session. I have recorded proof.
I'm sure
I want to believe.
And we will also have Matt, who plays Aristobulus Ravenscroft, joining us shortly. He's doing something with family currently. And we do not fault him for that, right?
Priority, son.
You guys haven't killed me yet.
Yet.
Yet, not yet.
Okay, when we last saw our band of intrepid adventurers, we had the end of what I'm referring to as Act 1, which was the battle for Coombridge. The zombie horde has been subdued. An ancient green dragon had its left eye blown out. And it did a tactical retreat, or it advanced quickly towards another battle that was in the opposite direction.
Tucked its tail between his legs and ran.
Flew, actually, and did a wing buffet attack. Or wing buffet, if you will. It was a smorgasbord of aerial assault that left Dragonborn rolling in the wind like a tumbleweed. And we are going to fast forward a bit. I have written up an epilogue for Act 1, which I'm going to put up on the website. There'll be a link in the description. But to get this plot moving, there were several breadcrumbs included in the epilogue. And what the party that's with us right now has decided is to go for rescuing the dwarves. During the conflict, the dwarves that had settled in Orstrike, which is a dwarven town on the far end of Coombridge, they sealed up Orstrike. They closed up their entrances with ingenious leveraged stone mechanisms, and there's all kinds of traps in there. And you really need a good dwarven stonesmith to understand, or stonemason rather, to understand how these things put together and how to get in there. Unfortunately, all the stonemasons in the area are currently in Orstrike, which gets to be a problem because you can't go in there and tell them the battle's over. And they're not going to come out and check because dwarves are kind of patient like that. So one of the things that's been suggested by the dwarves that are in the town of Coombridge Keep is that an expedition be sent to a nearby dwarven settlement that has stonemasons and have them come back to help open up Orstrike. There is such a settlement that is within 3 or 4 days travel of Gorsgate. So you got 3 days of travel through the Gors and then add another 4 days of travel from there. Basically, as you get into Gorsgate, you hang a left and just follow the mountain range going around, and you'll come up to the dwarven settlement. those are pretty much the directions they were given. You were given a map with a mark on it so you can sort of find your way. The people of Coomridge are very grateful for your support, and the Idris family is very grateful for the information and the support, because one of the things that happened is they learned a lot about ancient green dragons after all of this. Vex in particular was quite useful in providing this information. So any mundane traveling materials that you require, they are happy to provide. They have horses, they have a wagon you could use, whatever rations you want to take with you. You can do that. Just let me know what you want to do.
I require a Shetland pony.
I was going to say, we're going to go horses.
And his name will be Quicksilver.
I'm okay with this. I'm 100% on board with this.
I want to... Wait, can I name the horse?
Well, that'd be kind of hard to pronounce in normal conversation, but you may try.
Yeah, that was just a laugh.
What's my bird's name?
Justice.
You named it Justice.
Justice the Second.
God.
You're gonna be like that boxer who George Foreman, with his son George Jr., and then George the Third, and then George the Fourth, George the Fifth. I'm okay with this. Okay, so every animal companion you have is going to be named Justice with a number after it.
Yes!
Yeah, we can do this. Okay, so you got a horse Justice and a bird Justice.
Yes.
And they're going to go on adventures. Okay, so we've heard from Punk. We've heard from Fenix. What's everyone else want?
I just want a horse.
Okay. And you name it Twilight Sparkle.
No, I do not. Good lord.
Applejack.
Nope.
Applejack.
I name it...
Pumpkin Spice.
I will cut you.
That was the desired reaction.
Is that what you're wanting? You want me to threaten to cut you?
I was trying to get on your nerves. Mission accomplished.
You didn't get on my nerves. I will name it...
Starbuck.
I hate all of you.
I hate John. All of you. Well, what's I hate all of you in Elvish? I think that would work out pretty well as a name. I think it translates into the word human.
You can name it Papa John.
You're accurate about the human thing.
Papa John.
I'll name it Ronan.
Okay.
Like Guardians of the Galaxy Ronan?
There's a Ronan in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes.
Or as in Masterless Samurai Ronan.
That's what I was thinking.
None of those things.
I'm too young.
That's where the word comes from, so...
Well,
I'll also get a horse, name him Divinity.
Sounds good.
That's just like a...
Ooh, horses have a hoof attack.
That's a name I'd see in my report on it.
to be fair, these are horses that are bred for, travel. They are not bred for war. So...
Oh yeah, they only have 13 health.
So
they'll do a hoof attack if scared, but if you try to march them into battle, they might put up a resistance. You might have to roll a animal handling check on disadvantage.
Oh, I have a lot of animal handling.
Honestly, just so you know, Logan, it'd be great that you were able to get a war horse eventually. That'd be awesome.
But can we go through a desert with a horse with no name?
If I ever get a warhorse, I call it McFly.
For the paladin to get a warhorse, he's going to have to go on a series of long quests. He's going to have to go through a few instances with the party. There's going to be a giant tree that you've got to take down, but you got to take out all the lesser trees first, and oh, I'm reliving World of Warcraft.
and then I got to throw a wagon at it. More trees happen.
Okay, now I see that... Matt, who plays Ari, is online, and I see his push-to-talk going off and on over and over again, but I cannot hear him. Oh, there you go. No, okay.
It's good. I was just being quiet, waiting for the moment to properly reveal myself.
Hey, Ari.
Okay. Or perhaps expose myself.
Predator.
Oh, but don't, you don't were exposed.
Someone think of the children.
I was just worried because I kept seeing the little green circle in Discord going on and off, and I was like, he's trying to talk and his mic isn't working. Oh, we're going to have to pause this and do technical support. And okay. All right. So we're good. So how's Ari doing?
I am okay. I have just seen, just logged in and seen all the epilogue stuff. I am trying to go over it. I've been busy the last few days and haven't really even checked into the cogwheel here, so I'm trying to catch up for a moment here.
Okay, have you leveled up your character yet?
I did, and I have not posted about it, but I see there was a Dropbox something or other later on.
That was my character.
Okay. Is that your own folder there, or is that a group folder?
That's my folder.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
All I require at this point, and we can worry about the details later, is for your stat increases, what did you add points to?
Did we have to take stat increases, or could we take a feat?
You could take a feat. You could take a feat.
Okay. I intend to take a feat. The feat I intend to take, however, is from Unearthed Arcana. And wanted to be sure it was approved for you or by you, but I never got a chance to upload that question through the board here. It is from the skill feats of Unearthed Arcana. Basically, it's an arcanist feat. It gives me an extra cantrip, prestidigitation, allows me to cast detect magic once per long rest without using a spell slot, and gives me essentially expertise in arcana checks. And at this level, that just means an extra +2.
I love that feat. It's one of my favorite feats for a caster.
Yep. Boring magic stuff.
Yeah, well, that's his forte, as it were.
I just smash.
Punk smash.
Logan burn.
I think I have my sheet on my Google Drive. I think I at least printed it to a PDF and uploaded it there for myself, so I'm going to go check now and make sure I did that.
Okay, and while you're doing that, just to catch you up, the party has been discussing the breadcrumbs mentioned in the epilogue.
Okay, I haven't finished reading the epilogue.
There's multiple things that can be done, and what they came to a consensus for was to go to Fenix's hometown because he really doesn't want to.
No, stop, go.
Apparently he left home for good reason, and he thinks it's really boring there, and he'd rather be out adventuring. But the church that he has inadvertently founded by being the awesome dragonborn paladin that he is.
By being the dumbest paladin that there is.
They would really, really love it if more paladins and clerics of Bahamut came over. Or if they could have a pilgrimage go to De Perfecta, where Dragonborn live.
Okay.
But that's actually, I'm jesting. What has really been decided is an expedition to a dwarven settlement outside of Coomridge, because the town of Orstrike, during this whole conflict, closed their doors. They're sealed up tight inside. There are no stonemasons in Coomridge outside of Orstrike that are skilled enough to get into Orstrike. So the fate of the dwarves in there is kind of unknown. It's assumed they're okay, but we don't know, and we can't go in, and they're not going to come out.
Someone did.
They might be. They might be fine. They might just be sitting there being dwarves, all patient, like, well, it might be over, but let's wait another 10 years just to be safe.
Right. And to 10 dwarves a decade is like, oh, that's tomorrow.
Yeah, they got plenty of crops, mushrooms and stuff that they can grow in there. They're self-sufficient. They might have to recycle a lot of metal over time because the ore strike is mined out in regards to ore. But they can deal. However, the rest of Krumich would really like their them to come back out because there's not many people in Kumrish left. They need all the population they can get. So that's the first thing that's going to be done. Now, this trip to the Dwarven settlement that you're going to be going to will take you to maybe within 2 days' journey to a town to the south, somewhat further south, that Fiddlepunch wants to explore. But he doesn't want to go alone because he's a researcher, not a fighter.
Right.
And there are bad things out there. So when he learns that you are going to be going to Orstrike, well, to help Orstrike, because you're not going to Orstrike,
right.
he offers to come along if you'll have him, provided that you also take this detour to go to this other town.
Okay.
I will. He is allowed to come along as I can call him Frank.
I don't want to do the detour. Let's just stick with the main
being thing. Lazy.
Well, keep in mind that the reason he wants to investigate this town is because the town disappeared.
Then it'll still be gone. It'll, you know.
And
kind of like we appeared here.
Yes. There is the possibility that it jumped realities. And if he can examine this firsthand, it might provide him with clues that might eventually lead to three of you, at least, going home.
What if I like it here?
Then you like it here.
Some of us do have things to deal with on home, though.
So, since Ari is not quite ready to go home yet, mainly because he hates it there, I
have named the Dwarven settlement so that we can tell them apart.
Got it. Okay.
It's called Who's On First.
I hate you.
Okay. Definitely not interested in the Orklands. Okay. So where does everybody stand on, I mean, I guess, is the consensus Kumrich? Or I'm sorry, is the consensus looking to help these or find these dwarves?
Yes.
Is that kind of, okay.
Yes.
We voted without you. So.
Well, it's, I don't care. all right. And Ari's not very religious, so the breadcrumb number two has almost zero interest for him. Number one would be his own breadcrumb is interested. He's interested in it, but later. I have no interest in the orcs whatsoever. So by process of elimination, three looks good and five looks good. I understand Punk's vote on number five. Where do the rest of you stand?
I would like to do the, because they're next to each other, like 2 days apart.
They're close enough for government work.
They're close enough for us to do both. I would like to
right.
do both.
How about Obame and Fenix?
I mean, both would be, doing both would be taking two birds with one stone, basically.
So is that a yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty much that way anyway. We were going back and forth on which ones we wanted to do. Three just happened to be there, and five was definitely under consideration due to that. However, you know, we wanted to kind of see if we could talk to you about one, but that's neither here nor there. I think yeah. Since you're going to do that later on, I think three then five would be fine.
Yeah.
You made Ari, it clear you don't want to go home.
Yeah, I don't want to head home at this time.
Yeah.
In his opinion, he hasn't been away long enough. And, you know, if he has to see his family once a year, that's probably once too many times.
You don't call, you don't write.
God forbid. Hey, I'm the third son or whatever here, or third child. I don't care what they do at this
point. There was an empty seat during the Winter Solstice Festival.
But he likes his Uncle
it was
Harry.
At the kids' table, yeah. But there was still an empty seat.
Uncle Harry makes fart jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, but they don't. Mother doesn't invite him that often. If he weren't father's brother, then he would not have a welcome place. Great Uncle Harry. It's got to be Great Uncle Harry.
Great Uncle Harry.
All right. So basically, then I'm in kind of agreement with the rest. Three and five. You know, let's tackle both if we can. I have no problem with that.
Okay. So then the next decision to make, and most of the party has already made these calls, is what supplies and items do you wish to procure for the journey? The grateful citizens of Coomeridge are willing to offer pretty much any mundane item up. The rest of the party has selected horses and in one case a pony.
Do they have healing potion?
Mundane items.
Since this is basically a diplomatic type mission, I'd have to kind of look over the PHB a little bit to, and I can do that kind of momentarily here, but horse and, you know, as far as I can, you know, rations, food, etc. Can't, you know, typical traveling gear, tents, rope, grappling hooks, stakes, pitons, whatever, mallet, you know, anything for standard travel. I don't think we need to go to the, you know, extremes of like having climbing kits or herbalism kits, or anything like that. I think we just need food, horses, water, and some perhaps cold weather gear. Or no, wait, we're out of spring. We're out of winter now, right?
We're in spring.
It is, yeah, spring. We are. It's not quite clear to go through the gores yet, but you've got a frickin' ranger with you, so it's clear enough for your party.
Do we need to worry about like rain, heavy weather, or wet weather gear kind of stuff, oiled cloaks and tents kind of thing, or is that something
they? I'm sorry.
Okay, I don't remember all the ranger stuff. So
a giant clear umbrella just appears over your head.
Yeah,
and then you try to look. And
thanks to having a ranger.
Holding an umbrella over your head, specifically yours.
Essentially, we travel for an hour, and then all terrain becomes standard terrain.
You'll be miserable for an hour, and then you'll be miserable but traveling faster.
Are we there yet?
Yeah.
And then I shoot an arrow through your eye the first time you say that.
I will turn this dragonborn around.
I still love that.
Are they willing to give arrows?
You may have as many mundane arrows as you want. The explosive arrows are safe for special occasions.
I'm okay with that.
Also, your horse hits a pothole, you become a crater. There's now a larger pothole, so you...
Yeah.
I figured. Can I take, like, 40 arrows?
You may take as many as you can carry. Basically, anything mundane in the player's handbook, we'll just say you've grabbed it all, and we'll retcon it in as you need it
at
this point. We're not going to worry about that.
Yeah. The only thing would be to carry... I don't know how far we have to go. Do we need, like, a wagon or a cart to carry enough supplies for ourselves to last that far?
It's 7 days travel.
Okay, I wasn't sure how far. I mean,
a little less, because it would be 3 days travel through the gores if you were hauling wagons. But you're just taking horses, which means you can ride them a bit faster, and you could probably get through the gores in 1 day of hard riding.
And plus, if there was a wagon, it'd probably be broken already.
Yeah, apparently, someone's gotten addicted to smashing wagons. I actually put that into the epilogue.
Our security deposit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here goes that waiver on damage.
Yeah.
And also, everyone in the party did get something over the winter. Obeim has a handy haversack, which can hold a significant amount of gear. And whenever he goes into it, whatever he's looking for is at the top of it.
Yeah, that'll be useful.
The downside is if you puncture it or over-encumber it, you lose everything.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yes.
Let's not do that. Important safety tip, fellas.
And, we the players know, and it's up to Ponk if he lets anyone else know, because no one else was with him when he got this, but Ponk has acquired, and I'm using air quotes as I say acquired, he has acquired the portable hole that Marwood used when he visited him in the tower. So if he's willing to share this information with the party, you can also store equipment in there.
Maybe.
All right. So looking real quick over the adventuring gear list, the few things that stick out that would be pricey that I don't know that we'd be able to get or need, such as things like holy water, vials of acid, antitoxin, any of that stuff. Do we think we need any of that?
No. As long as Obeim get lesser restoration for the day, we're solid for stuff like that.
Okay.
I have lesser restoration and also a prayer of healing.
Okay. Well, what about holy water? Do the priests even that are here, do they even have the capability of producing any holy water? And if they do, do we want any?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, are you at a high enough level where you can make holy water?
I don't think so.
Okay, then none of the priests here can do it.
Okay, so moot
point.
They're
all lower level than you.
I have channel divinity turn undead if we really need it.
Okay. That is the best spell.
We needed it recently.
Last week, yeah.
I'm sorry, I was at a wedding.
No.
Hey.
I
cleared them out the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, fireballs and explosive arrows.
Yeah. All right, then the only thing special Ari would want to pick up would be some sealing wax. He's got a signet ring for his own, you know, private messages, so... that'd be about the only unique or odd thing that he'd want to make sure he has in case he needs to write any notes. You know, get some quills, some ink, paper, sealing wax, any kind of thing he might need to write out agreements or just even send notes. I was done.
I would maybe like 2 satches to tie onto the side of the horse.
So saddlebags.
Yeah.
Okay.
I figured those were gimmies. That we'd have bags for carrying all our, especially for like water and rations and enough to travel through.
Yeah, and any standard traveling gear, we're just going to assume that you have it in a saddlebag somewhere.
Okay.
If not on your person. Now, the dwarves of the local temple that has now been founded to Ilmater, apparently because. Obain is a cleric of Ilmater. The dwarves of the settlement have decided that Ilmater is a dwarven god. because why wouldn't he be? Because what kind of dwarf would serve a human god?
If anyone asks you if you're a god,
say yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, they give Obain a sealed letter because they understand that Obain is. Even though he's a dwarf, he's an outsider. So this is a letter that you'll be able to deliver to the Stonemasons Guild in the town of Who's On First. And they'll be able to read that and send help. Now, Punk, you also have another meeting with Old Bob, and he asks you to do another favor for him. He has a small box. It's... maybe about a foot by 6 inches by 6 inches. It's got a lid on the top. It's got a small lock on the front of it. And he asked you to deliver that to an acquaintance of his that happens to be staying in Who's On First, or at least he was there the last time he checked. It's another halfling. It goes by the name of Sess.
Pool.
His last name is Nitrate. His full name is Cesium Nitrate.
Okay.
A bit of an explosive personality.
I'd say so.
He makes a decent living as an alchemist, but sometimes has on more than one occasion has done an odd job for Old Bob. Also,
I want to have Shep smell the box.
Shep.
Oh, Shepherd. Okay.
Oh, Shepherd. Okay.
Yeah.
Shepherd sniffs it and takes it out of your hands, walks it over to... Actually, no. So you're taking the box from Old Bob?
Yeah.
Because he would not be having this conversation with you with witnesses.
Oh, no, I know. Oh, that's what I'm saying. When I come back with it.
Okay.
I want to have Shepherd's knowledge.
You want Shep to make a perception check?
Sure.
Okay. Now,
hey, I got more spells. Sorry.
Yes, you did.
I just read my section.
Yes, and you're keeping your wand of fireballs.
Oh, well, then I will need to add those into my inventory because I just uploaded my spell sheet, and it does not have those additional spells I was just granted. So I will have to go over that and redo that.
Okay. Now, Punk, your understanding from old Bob is Cess is going to be giving you your payment for delivering this.
Okay.
Because you, old Bob isn't quite sure when you're going to come back, but whatever is in this box, whatever's in this box, he implies that the box itself is a message.
Yeah, I'm just curious, but I'm not going to mess with trying to open it, but I'd like to have the dog take a sniff at it and see if something bad is in there.
The dog has advantage on sniffing perception checks.
Okay, well, I heard some dice rolling, so what was your number?
21.
Okay. Shepard takes the box out of Ponk's hands, walks it over to Vex, sits down in front of him, and starts wagging his tail.
I cast Speak with Animals.
I got a box.
Little guy?
I got a box.
Can you smell what's in it?
Squirrel.
It's wood.
Okay.
So no, you can't smell what's in it.
Okay. Just curious. I just want to make sure it wasn't, you know, something alive in there or something, or, you know. Okay. Good puppy.
Goodbye.
Good little scritch behind the ears.
Okay, so are we ready to actually leave?
Yes.
After half an hour, I was afraid it was going to be 2 hours.
I'm surprised it wasn't.
I'm very glad it wasn't. So you head out. Everyone wishes you a fond farewell. There's a Disney song and dance routine in the main square.
I vomit.
Punk flips
confetti falling down the ground. There's fireworks for no reason whatsoever. Ponk enrages.
Definitely.
In any case, you head out. How hard are you going to ride your horses? You could, if you're willing to let them, like, rest easy afterwards, get through the entire gores in a day. If you took it at a leisurely stroll, it would be 3 days.
We're not in a super hurry, right?
I don't think so.
I would still not like it to take the full 3 days.
The main concern is spring thaw means thawing, which means the zombies that are still in the gores will be able to move around.
But we thought without the dragon, there was no zombies anymore.
Oh, no, there's still plenty of zombies. But what's happened is if it's already been animated, it's still animated. People who die at this point don't come back automatically. And if you kill a zombie, it stays killed. But if it's already been animated, it's still doing what its thing. And no one was in the gores during the wintertime because the snowdrifts were higher than any zombie would be.
Let's go ahead and get there in a day.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes. Rush.
It's not like we have to worry about being slowed down.
Yeah, and it's a pretty straight run through the gores because of how this road has been constructed. So, and the road itself is elevated in most places, so it's one of the first things to be exposed with the spring thaw. So it's a lot easier to travel. So you make it through. As you get closer to Gore's Gate, everyone give me a perception check. Let me know if it's over 15.
Oh,
17.
Oh my god.
13.
So you got a 17, right?
No, I got a 17.
Oh, you got a 17.
No, okay.
I'm sorry, I talked over you.
I got something worse.
Okay, so Vex and Ponk's AFK briefly. Ponk was...
Sorry,
go ahead.
Ari got a 17.
I got a 3.
I got a rock. Okay, so Ari and Vex... simultaneously, as you start to get closer to Gore's Gate, where you'd be able to see the wall in the distance, because there isn't a lot of greenery in this swamp. So you can see through the trees a bit easier. You can see that there are giant holes in the wall. And through the holes, you can see there isn't a lot left standing. There's currently a fog that obscures a lot of what would be in Gore's Gate, but you don't see any buildings looming out of the fog. It's mostly black shapes that are low to the ground.
What time is it?
It is early evening. The sun is setting, but you probably have at least an hour and a half of daylight left.
We're probably going to want to set up camp.
Yeah.
If we're this close to Gore's Gate, we might as well have a look while we have some daylight left.
So we want to check everything out before we do, or set up camp now and then do it later.
If it's safe, we could set up camp in there and at least have some defenses.
Good idea.
Okay, so you enter the town?
Yeah, let's go ahead and enter the town.
I would like to be stealthy, though. I'd like to try and stealth in.
Okay. Well, everyone who's trying to be stealthy, give me a stealth check. Which would be acrobatic. That's right. It would be dexterity if you don't have stealth.
I do not have stealth.
I don't have either.
4?
17.
That was with, so that was a 1, by the way, with a dexterity.
That's a critical fail.
That's
though.
A critical fail, sir.
I rolled a 17.
I gotta check something because you're in full plate, so that does give you some
disadvantage. Yeah.
So roll again. And tell me if it's lower than 17.
Ari got a 12 plus 3 for 15.
Yeah. I rolled 11. Yay.
11 is not bad, to be fair. But as the party is doing a fairly good job of sneaking through, Obaim belches. Like he tries to hold it in. He sort of goes like he's trying to swallow it down. He knows he shouldn't, but among your supplies, he did find that he could fit a small keg into the haversack. And he just
bloody
lets
drunk.
One loose, and it's sort of you sort of hear it echo off of the distant mountains. A few birds in the distance just like fly off into the air, startled.
Bloody drunk.
Give me a perception check. Let me know if it's over 10.
All of us?
Everyone in the party.
14.
6 plus...
15.
10. No, 11. 11.
10 on the die plus 4.
Okay, so you all hear... what sounds like a laugh. It's a very high-pitched, giggly laugh. Coming from multiple throats.
Like an echo?
No, like there's more than one. And you see some largish, bulky shapes coming at you through the fog. I think
sorry,
it's
guys.
Time to roll for initiative.
I'm sorry, guys.
This is why we don't take drunks with us.
I'm sorry.
Well, that would be the entire Dwarven Nation then, wouldn't it?
19.
Punk.
3.
Vex.
15.
Obaim.
6.
Ari.
18.
Okay. So, Fenix goes first. You have never seen creatures like this before. Fennecs in particular, you have not seen creatures like this before. They kind of look like a mix between a hunchbacked human and the ugliest dog you've ever seen. They're wearing armor, but they're not wearing like a very nice set of armor like you've got. They don't look as epic as you. It doesn't look like they know what armor polish is. And it's sort of a mishmash. Like they might be wearing leather in some places. It might be a scrap of chainmail in another. It's just mixed and matched.
And they're trying to kill me?
Well, they're coming at the entire party. But you've got... You're first in initiative, so you can strike first.
All right, I will hit them. 18 plus... Oh my god. I rolled a 22? Yeah, 22.
Oh, that's a hit.
Oh, I just get my damage dice. Where are they? 12 damage.
Okay, so I'm assuming you're using your longsword?
Yep.
Okay. So you slice not through this creature, but you do significant damage to it. You go through center of the mass. It's not a very deep cut, but it's a very long cut going across it. And it doesn't look happy with you. Next up is going to be Ari.
All right. I can see... we can see a target here or no?
You can see them. There's about... maybe 8 of them. You're not entirely sure because there's a lot of fog in this area, but there's more than 5.
Okay. How far away are they from us?
I'm going to say that they are within striking distance of most of you at this point, if not all of you. It would take less than a move for them to get to anyone.
They have not made an offensive action yet towards us other than giggle.
They are running towards you, laughing hysterically with weapons drawn.
Oh, all right. Then mage armor.
Okay. That would bring us up to Vex.
So you said they're in melee with me?
They are within melee range, yes.
Okay, so I can't longbow. Right, then I will... Shepard will go for a bite on one of them. First. So that's a 17 to hit.
Guys, I'm sorry. My daughter needs to get picked up. I have to bow out. I gotta go get her.
Understood.
Alright. I'll be back when I get back with her, which should probably be about an hour.
My condolences, but family comes first.
Yep.
17 to hit, Shepard?
17 is a hit.
So that is... 11 points of piercing damage.
Is Shepard attacking the one that Fennec attacks? Or a different one?
Was there multiple in range of him?
I'm going to say they're all in range of you, yes. They're all within 30 feet, so a move is not a big deal.
Then, yes.
Okay. So 17 was a hit. What's the damage?
It was 11 points of piercing, and it has to make a DC 11 strength saving throw. Probably knocked prone.
It is prone and looking in a bad way.
Cool. Okay, so it's a melee range of me, so I will do a melee attack with the rapier. Try to scroll up. Right, that's a 20 to hit.
That's a hit.
That's 6 points of slashing damage.
Are you attacking the same one or a different one? I forget.
I'll attack the same one.
Okay, you cut its head off.
Okay, cool. And then I'll spin around with my dagger for an offhand strike to another one.
Okay.
And that's a 20 to hit.
That's a hit.
It's just a d4 damage. 3 points of piercing.
You are not making friends today.
No, I'm not. I never do.
Okay, and next up is our collection.
I actually think Tom should have went before me, shouldn't he? Because he rolled a 17.
I thought I heard him say 3 with his.
No, someone else said 3. He was AFK.
Yeah, oh. I wasn't here. I got a 17.
Because I got a 15.
Okay, then we're going to retcon this and have Punk do his thing.
Okay. So what... So multiple things running at us. I will attack whatever's closest to me.
Okay, and actually, Punk and Obame and Vex all recognize these creatures as gnolls.
My favorite.
You will not... They will not take Candle.
They will not take Candle.
Those would be kobolds.
No, that was gnolls.
No, that was Hogger. Gnolls are Hogger.
Yeah. The forest was just a setback.
Oh.
Oh, Jared was just a setback.
So I'm just going to swing at whatever's the closest to me with the can opener.
Okay. Give me your roll.
Sixteen.
That is a hit.
Alrighty. Let's roll some damage here. Six.
I appreciate Eclipse in the chat. I'm just going to say that. Okay, so you do 6 damage to one of them. Okay, now it's their turn. Let's see how we're going to do this. Since Fenix, Punk, and Vex all rushed forward to go into battle, I'm going to say that they are somewhat ahead of Ari. So they're going after those three because those three ran move forward a bit to engage. Not very far, but they're the closest targets.
I have the most aggro.
Oh.
I hate it when he does that.
Swear to God, if you natural 20 us.
It's not just a natural 20. It's a natural 20 on the die that Kelly bought me that lights up when you roll a natural 20.
I love those dice.
So that son of a gun was a natural 20.
That was natural 20. See, I love you, Kelly, but I don't appreciate the fact that you're going to get us killed.
Well, this one was going after Fenix.
Okay. He's tanky at least.
Are you serious?
You're tanky, you're fine.
You got an AC. Well, you don't have a dex modifier. So yeah, your AC is 18. So,
you
do pretty good. But a natural 20 is a natural 20.
You're not making it look better.
Roll them dice.
And for this... I roll for damage. One of the die I'm rolling for damage hits the... d20 and it lights up again because it's still 20 side up. But I was not rolling a d20 for damage. So that's... You take 6 points of damage from a spear.
He rolled low.
I got a 3.
That's not bad.
But there are two more going after you.
I'm at 42 health.
That's a miss. That's a hit. But that's a normal hit.
Well, you're rolling high today, aren't you, Crash?
That's 6 damage. Also, gnolls have a +4 to hit, which kind of helps.
I gotcha. Uh-huh.
7 if I was in range.
The next two are going to go after Ponk. Ponk does a 23 hit.
It most certainly does.
You take 8 points of damage.
Oh, you didn't even rage.
I didn't rage yet, no.
Does an 8 hit?
No.
Okay, then the other one misses. Now for Vex.
Hi.
17.
Hits.
5.
Okay.
6.
Miss.
Okay, that ends their actions. Now it's Obame's turn.
Vex, Ponk, and Phoenix are within 30 feet of me?
Everyone's within, at this point, you're sort of closing ranks as this battle continues, you're all within 20 feet.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and cast Prayer of Healing on them. Let me do my stupid rolls. Let's see. 2d8.
I'm only missing 5 health.
It's 11 healing on each of them.
Phoenix, could you really use that? So that works.
Yes. Could take way more than that, but it's better to have.
Okay, and that ends the turn, so now we're back to Phoenix.
Is the one that hit me still in front of me?
Yes.
I decapitated it, didn't I?
Alright.
No, he decapitated one that didn't get a chance to hit anything.
Alright.
The one that I'm gonna attack the one that just hit me.
Okay.
Oh, why am I always rolling 19s? That's plus 4. That's
a 19 is a hit without any modifiers. So yeah, that's a hit.
Yeah, but if it was a monk, that would have been a crit.
What?
Monks can crit on 19 or 20.
That is 11 damage.
Okay, that is a significant amount of damage. Next up is going to be Ari, who is not here at the moment. And I'm going to say he casts a spell, but I need to look at his character sheet to decide what he's going to cast. Thank goodness this is a PDF file.
Mm-hmm.
For our listeners at home, Ari originally was using a...
spreadsheet.
He's still using a spreadsheet. But he's now providing that spreadsheet in a printed PDF format as opposed to the native spreadsheet, which I don't have Excel. And all the macros that are built into it take incredibly long to load. Okay, he's going to cast a firebolt at one of them. And I didn't load up his... I loaded his spell sheet, not his character sheet. I need to find out what his plus for spell hit is.
Modifier is +6.
+6. Ah, then he hits. He incinerates the knoll that Fenix had hit. So now we've got two of them down. All right, next up is Punk.
Punk is going to rage and wants to attack the one that hit him.
I need to make a mental note to have you fight a mechanical in the future so you can rage against the machine.
That would be awesome.
I get
the worst person.
I'm the best.
I loved it.
Okay, give me a roll.
Okay. 15.
That is a hit.
All right. Let's see. 10.
Okay. Next up is Vex.
Okay, I'm guessing they're all still in melee range.
Yeah. Now, okay. There are some that you could still shoot an arrow at because they're further away from you personally, but they're all close enough that if you want to hit any of them with a sword, you can reach them and hit them pretty well.
Okay. I'll have Shepard go for another bite on the closest one to us. It's probably not going to hit. Yeah, it's not going to hit. That's a 9 to hit.
Yeah, they have an AC of 15.
Okay, I assumed as much. I will then take the rapier. No, it's not a rapier. I keep saying rapier. Scimitar. And go for a swipe. That's better. That's 22 to hit.
That'll hit it.
It's a d6. So that is 7 points of slashing damage, and then I'll go again with my dagger. There's an offhand strike. And that's a... Yeah, that's more than a 15 that hits. And that's... Ooh, 4 points of piercing damage. And that'll be my turn.
Okay. Next up is their turn. Now, you would think, with the amount of damage that you've laid into these things, that they might consider not continuing to attack because one of them has burst into flames and and several of them are bleeding profusely, but they are not letting up at all. If anything, they're laughing more. They are gleeful.
That will make their death even more pleasurable.
Would the ones that know who what these are know that that's what they would do?
Oh, yeah. Gnolls live for carnage. They are imbued by their dark god with an eternal hunger. And they can eat pretty much anything for sustenance, but only intelligent beings sake this hunger. And they kill and eat because their god demands it.
They are they have no conscience at all.
None whatsoever.
So yeah, Hogger.
Okay, that is a miss. I'm rolling for the ones that are going after Fenix right now. That is also a miss. Two of them go after Punk. We got a 9.
Miss.
And a 12.
Miss.
And now for Vex. One of them goes after you, one of them goes after Shepard.
Oh, you son of a...
Oh, no. No!
Natural 20 on Vex.
Okay.
I'm liking this die. I'm not liking what it's doing to the party, but I'm liking this die. Eight points of damage.
Okay. More concerned about the dog.
Does a 19 hit?
19 hits.
5 points of damage.
Okay.
It stabs Shepard in the designated good guy area known as the shoulder.
Now it's personal.
Yeah.
Well, now it's Obame's turn.
I'm going to go ahead and cast Cure Wounds on Shepard.
Good man.
I love that.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter if everyone else dies. Dag Nabbit Shepard's going to walk away from this alive.
Right.
A genuine love.
Just drag everyone's corpses to a high-level cleric to get them rezzed.
And then he'll send an owl on them.
I genuinely love that Shepard has become this team's mascot. It's brilliant.
6 points of healing.
All right. Okay. Okay.
So he's healed up to full again.
Yeah, he is.
The gnoll stabs Shepard and pulls the spear out. And as he pulls the spear out, the wound just closes up behind the spear again. And it sort of just looks at it like, wait, that's not how this works. Okay, Fenix, you're up.
Okay, I'm going to attack another one. Random, I don't care.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, you got a 15 hit.
15 hits. Now, were you going after the one that was in front of you that's wounded, or there's another
Yeah,
one
I'll go after that.
Okay.
I'll go after the one that's wounded. Oh, yay, I did 10 points of damage.
Okay, noted. That one's not looking good. And none of them look good, really. But you know what I mean. Okay, now Ari is going to use magic missile on one of the ones that's in front of Vex. Actually, no, he's going to fire at one of the ones that's in front of Ponk because he can fire right over Ponk's head. This works well. And magic missile is an instant hit. My d4 are all at the bottom of my dice tray.
Should I mean to roll d4s?
I got it. That is 9 points of damage.
Nice.
It does not go down.
Things are tough.
Remember Bonk's what down. I said, Punk.
Yep.
Punk, you also turn, have... You have one in front of you that is not wounded, and you've got one in front of you that is significantly wounded and also just got hit by bolts of glowing light that flew over your head.
I'm going to go after the one that's not wounded.
Okay.
Just smash that one in the face. Fifteen.
That's a hit.
Ten points of damage.
Okay, so you swing can opener over your shoulders directly into this thing's snout. And it keeps moving after it hits the nose. And the nose and the snout sort of like get out of the can opener's way. But not in a good way. When you pull your giant monkey wrench that you have dubbed the can opener back, this thing looks like it's going to need a straw to be eating at this point.
I'm going to do a lot more to it than that.
I imagine you are, unless someone beat you to it. Speaking of someone, Vex, it's your turn.
I want to back up 30 feet.
Okay.
I want to Hunter's Mark on the one that hit Shepard.
That one is currently not wounded.
Exactly. Hunter's mark.
I imagine this is going to change very shortly.
Shepard's going to take a jump on him. Does Shepard benefit from my hunter's mark?
That is a very good question. Do allies benefit from your hunter's mark?
No, just me.
Okay, well then Shepard would not benefit.
Okay. So Shepard will go for an attack first. That's more than an 18. That's more than a 15, so 2d4.
And it does not make it save against takedowns.
Okay, so that's 4 plus 5 is 9 points of piercing, and it doesn't make it save, so it's knocked prone. Okay.
Noted.
I will take my shot. Disadvantage because it's prone. That's 18 and 12. 12 plus 7 is... That's hit. Anyway, it's more than 15. That's a d8 and a d6. So that's 6 on the d8 plus the... I'm trying math. That's 9 plus the 4, so 13 points of piercing damage from the longbow.
I'm talking without hitting the push to talk button. You eviscerate this thing. But between Shepard doing a takedown, which does significant damage, Shepard has his jaws wrapped around this thing's throat. And it looks like he's trying to bring you its larynx as a prize. Because he understands that every time he brings you something, you say good boy and give him a pat on the head. So this is something that he wants to bring you. You send an arrow through its skull at the same time, and Shepard rips out the throat, and he sort of trots over to you with the larynx in his mouth, wagging his tail.
Good boy.
That was definitely lethal damage. All right, so... Obeim, you're up. Actually, no. It's the baddie's turn. What's left of them?
No one hits my goddamn dog.
You are correct.
Well, no one does it twice.
No.
Okay, so two of them are still going after Fenix. That's a 12. That's a miss. That's an 8. That's a miss. Two of them are going after Punk, including the one that is in desperate need of a straw or maybe a spoon. That is a 17.
Hits.
6 points of damage.
Ugh, okay.
Half because you're raging.
Yeah, that's true. It's only 3 then.
That is a 23.
Oof. Definitely not. Hits.
Yeah, that wasn't a natural 20. Right. But that was 7 points damage. So round down, that would
3.
Be
3. So take a total of 6 then. Okay.
And there's one left that hasn't attacked yet. And that one is going after Shepard because Shepard is closer.
Thought you said he ran over to me.
He's running over to you.
Alright.
But still, even then, their movement is also 30 feet. Okay. So it's coming towards you. But it's going to get to Shepard first, even if it's like a matter of feet. It hits Shepard first. And they like squishier targets, lore-wise. So it's going after Shepard. And that's a 12.
That's a mess.
I'd like to think that as it tries to stab Shepard in the back, as Shepard's trotting over to you all happy, Shepard sort of like, we switch to like an anime close-up view of Shepard's eyes. We see the eye just like look over to the side as speed lines appear above and below, and Shepard sort of just like slides to the left a little bit, and the spear goes down into the ground instead. Epic dodge.
I approve of this.
Uncanny dodge. Uncanny doge. And with that horrible line, Obeim, it's your turn.
I'm going to go ahead and attack the, I'm going to use Guiding Bolt on the gnoll that is attacking Shepard.
Okay.
Defend that puppy with your lives.
That is going to be a 19 plus 26.
That's a hit.
It's going to be 17 points of damage.
That's death.
Radiant damage.
It explodes in a glitter bomb. Shepard, as a free action, tries to catch the firefly sparks that are raining down around it.
Fabulous death.
He's fabulous.
He sticks out his tongue and catches them on his tongue. Okay, Fenix, you're up. There's one left that is not wounded, and it's in front of you, and there's also one that is severely wounded in front of you.
I'll hit the one that is in front of me that's not wounded.
That's not wounded, okay.
16, is that hit?
Hit.
Alright. Nine points of damage.
Okay, give me a perception check.
Another 16.
Okay, you're not entirely sure, but you think you might be... This seems a little bit easier than you think it should be. Based on what you've used this sword with before, which is mostly zombies up to this point. Hitting these things seems a bit easier. You're doing a bit more damage than you think you should be doing. But you can't really be certain. It's kind of guessing. Alright, and with that said, it is now Ari's turn. Let's look over his bag of tricks here. He is going to use another magic missile, because of course he is. I just rolled 2 4s in a row. 3 4s in a row.
Brilliant.
Be glad I'm rolling for a PC at this point.
I know, right?
And we have another one that was fighting Ponk turn into a fine red mist.
So how many total do we have left?
We have 3 left standing that you can see.
Okay.
Ponk will cheer as the red mist coats him.
Does he also stick out his tongue to catch? So please don't say yes. Don't say yes. I don't want to know that image.
Please say yes.
Of course.
Although it is Ponk's turn.
Giving a gnomish battle cry.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's Ponk's turn. What do you do, sir?
Whatever one is left, he's going to swing at.
You just pick a random one that's still standing and think, say, you shouldn't be.
Right. 15.
That's a hit.
Right. Rolling well tonight. Another 10 damage.
So you know how you once cut down a tree with your giant monkey wrench?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that this gnoll is a tree. And its neck is the trunk.
Nice.
The head bounces off into the fog.
Oh, awesome.
Two remaining, and it is Vex's turn.
The two remaining, health-wise, what would you say?
None of them are unwounded at this point. There's two that are looking kind of bloody. I'm not saying they're bloodied. I'm saying they're covered in blood.
Okay.
Might be theirs, might be somebody else's.
I'll Hunter's Mark onto one of them. And take a shot. That's a 15 to hit. That's their AC, isn't it?
That's their AC.
Nice. That is 13 points of piercing damage. Still up.
So you hit it in the center of its chest with an arrow. And the force of the blow sends it backwards into a random charred log that at some point was probably a crossbeam supporting like the roof of a house, but it's now sort of laying propped up on one side. And it's sort of just, it's not falling down because you've pinned it to this charred hunk of wood.
Sweet.
Shepard's going to go for the other one.
It was shot through the heart, and Vex is to blame.
I'm okay with this. Shepard's going to drag that other one down. With a bite. That's a good number. That's a 23 to hit.
That is a hit. It does not get taken down.
Oh, son of a... Okay, that's 2 fours. So... 8 plus 5 is 13 points of piercing.
So, remember in a previous battle against some cultists?
Yeah.
Little baby puppy Shepherd did this sort of spin around the cultist's neck and ripped its throat out in the process?
Yeah, when I threw him at it.
Well, Shepard is grown up now. He's a big boy. He throws himself. He doesn't take the gnoll down with the force of his blow, but he does take its head off.
That's a good little puppy.
He brings you the head.
I just pat him and just hug him and just show him lots of love.
As you're doing this, that's when the body falls. Hey, it made its save against takedown.
It did?
By the rules, it should have still been standing.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I am merely following the requirements and guidelines laid out in the Player's Handbook and Dungeon Master's Guide.
By the way, the D4s for all of us have been really good tonight.
The first round of magic missiles that I NPC'd for Ari, I rolled a bit low with some of those, but it wasn't bad overall. Okay, so as you're all like breathing heavy and looking around, like, okay, we got this, I don't see any more, you hear a something's running towards you, and it's something much bigger than a gnoll.
Bring it on.
I notch my bow.
Can we see it at all or anything like that? Or is it still going through the fog?
Yeah, can we see it?
As it runs forward, it is... I will say this counts as a large creature, while most player characters are considered medium. And it has greenish skin. You would say it was skinny if it was maybe the height of a human. But because of its height, its proportions make its width much thicker than anyone in the party. It's larger than Fenix.
Screw it.
Greenish skin that's mottled. There's lumps in some places. And,
what's my purpose?
Your purpose is to take this thing down.
I'm not the big person anymore.
Everyone, well, then make this thing smaller. That's my suggestion. People from Faerun, give me a... I just saw the latest image that was posted by Eclipse. The DM when a player is about to pull the lever. Oh, I love that picture. Oh, thank you, Eclipse, for being in the channel. Thank you. I value our friendship. I really do. So the three of you that are from Faerun, give me... Which check should I say this is?
Yeah, Insight maybe?
Oh, no. No, this does not need to be Insight.
Sir,
Insight would be determining what someone else is trying to do, and you know this thing is coming at you to make you into little green puddles.
This would be more of a recalling information check for one of them.
I'm going to say... let's go with survival or nature, whichever you prefer.
Right. Is this a humanoid? Is he a humanoid? No.
In the game sense, no. In the someone who doesn't know the rules of Dungeons and Dragons, it's got two arms, two legs, and a head.
This is my first time making a nat 20, so nat 20.
It's a troll.
13.
Mains was a 15. I had to add 4 and I forgot to do it.
15 is enough. Obeim, your roll was over 10, right?
It was my first natural 20 of our, our second campaign.
So Punk was the one who didn't roll in that 20. Your roll was over 10, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought 14. So. You all recognize this as a troll.
It's still technically my turn, right?
Should be my turn.
No, I mean just like we're still coming to the like this the end of my turn, right?
Well, your turn has ended.
So I can't do like a reaction
because you had this thing moved on the bad guy's turn.
Okay, I made
which
them.
Was after yours. But it has used its movement to charge into melee range. So therefore, and it double moved. So, Obeim, it is your turn.
Okay. Let's see. Troll has advantage on wisdom checks. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and we're going to do another guiding bolt edit.
Woo!
Let me roll. Hold on.
A 22 is a hit.
Uh, 16 of radiant damage.
Okay. It does in game terms, it double moved to get here. In adding flavor to this scenario, we're going to say that you use this guiding bolt as it's running into the party, and your guiding bolt does these 16 points of damage, and it doesn't even slow down.
Yeah, it has a lot of hit points.
Oh, yes. Yes, it does. So, next up is going to be Fenix.
Okay, I'm going to slice it. Slice and dice. Oh my god, does a 14 hit?
A 14 with your +2 bonus does not.
Okay.
Actually, no, hold on. You added your bonuses, right?
No, I forgot to add my bonuses.
Okay, well then add your bonuses. 14 plus what?
Wouldn't it be a fort? Wait, is it plus my longsword plus?
It's strength.
So strength. 18.
That's a hit.
Strength plus proficiency plus moderate plus your +1 for the sword.
Yeah, you're using a +2 longsword, so you also have that bonus. So give me some damage.
Oh, so that's a 20. Jesus. total damage.
Okay, noted. Ari, it's your turn.
It's not
Ari
here.
It's me. At this point.
You're Ari.
I'm Ari. Okay. So, I am going to basically roll a die and pick evens or odds because Ari would not know what a troll is. He would not know that the best thing to do is use fire on them. So he might not be using one of his fire spells. So I'm going to leave this up to chance. He is not going to use a fire spell on it. Magic missile's been working so far, so he tries that again.
Dumping all the man's spells?
Would you rather he held them all?
No, I'm making a joke.
Okay, so he's done that. Next is Punk.
Is there any way I can yell out something to them while this is going on?
That's what I tried to do, but okay, yeah. My turn was over.
Let's see. Would a 23 hit?
And then some.
Good. All right. And still using the can opener. And 4 points of damage.
Okay. Vex, you're up.
Start of the turn, I scream troll. Actually, would Vex know about the fire thing?
Yes.
Okay.
It's common knowledge for trolls.
Okay. Ari, use your firebolt, and then I move my hunter's mark and shoot.
Okay.
And that's a 24 to hit.
24 will hit.
Ooh, that's a lot. That's a lot of numbers. 14 points of piercing, and then Shepherd will go for a bite. I don't. 15 to hit.
Sorry, I was adding damage. 15 will hit.
15 will hit. Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's wearing a dirty loincloth. But its skin is still strong enough that you need a 15 to hit.
Okay, so that's 4 plus 2 is 6 plus 5. That's 11 points of piercing. It needs to make a strength saving throw, DC 11.
This is considered to be a giant-sized creature. It can still do a takedown?
It doesn't say it can. I'll double-check. Okay. Sure, where's Player's Handbook? Because this doesn't have all the
this
info.
Save is it's a strength save, right?
Strength. I don't think he's going to do it, but yeah.
What's the number he's got to hit?
11.
That's what I thought. He doesn't even need his modifier. So, Shepherd jumps in and does his thing and bounces off. He's got some troll flesh in his mouth, and he spits it out immediately and starts trying to wipe his tongue with his paw.
I also keep forgetting about pack tactics. Shepherd has advantage as long as any of the party members are in range. I keep forgetting about that.
Well, he's been hit in every attack. So
yeah, I just need to remember, that's all.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, Shepherd is a dog. He licks his own butt. He does not like the taste of troll.
No bueno.
Okay, I take it back. He's a wolf.
Yeah, but we keep calling him a dog. He's a wolf. Stands.
No, I'm sorry. Regardless if he's a wolf or a dog, he's my dog. Regardless, he's my dog.
He'll always be your puppy.
Yeah, he will.
Okay, well, with that, it's the troll's turn. And at the start of his turn, he has not taken any fire or acid damage during the last turn, so he regenerates 10 health.
Oh, I hate that when that happens.
Yep. That's why I wanted to use my free action to shout that.
And he gets three attacks. He's basically just rampaging through, so he's going to use each attack on a different party member. He tries to use a claw attack on Fenix. That is a 23.
Oh, hell. This is going to hurt with that strength.
Help yourself, some spell slots.
Troll tries to claw me, and I just open my mouth.
Now, to be fair, the paladin still has lay on hands.
Yeah.
That is... ...11 points damage.
Oh my god.
So... Monster Sheets in the Dungeon not Dungeon Master's Guide, but in the Monster Manual... ...give average damage... And they also give dice rolls. I decided to roll with the hope that it would be lower, and it still added up to the average damage.
It's so usually roll. The case. That's why I just roll.
It's going to use another claw attack on Ponk. That's an 11. That misses, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to just say that it swings at you and it doesn't quite, because trolls are not the brightest things in the world. It's got a -2 intelligence and -1 wisdom. So it sort of swings at you, but it swings right over your head.
Oh, wow. Like, Shepard's smarter than it.
You don't need to dodge. You just sort of look up and like, you felt a breeze. And it tries to bite Obame.
Okay, what does he got?
I rolled a natural 20.
Fun!
2d6 plus 4.
What type of additional damage is that?
He rolls that is, 2 attack dice.
Yeah, its claw attacks are 2d6 plus 4. Its bite is 1d6 plus 4. But because it crit, the die get doubled. The modifier does not. So the bite does as much damage as a claw attack.
Gotcha.
And that is 12 points of damage.
Bite your ear off.
It tries to bite your head. You manage to dodge a little bit. It gives you a nasty bite on the shoulder.
Gotcha.
He thinks you're Obame Holyfield.
And that is its turn. Obame, you have a big smelly troll in front of you. You come up to about its knee. What do you do?
Am I able to move half range and cast?
You can do a full move and cast if you wish to.
All right, I want to do a 30 feet away. I want to go ahead and move... 30 feet away from the furthest person I can, I am going to cast who right here has damage on? I know me as well.
I have 11 health. I think there's others that need more healing.
I can heal everybody. Okay, I'm going to use Prayer of Healing on everyone, including myself. Stand by. I can go ahead and heal everyone for 10 points of damage.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
Okay. Fenix, you're up.
Alright, I'm gonna stab the troll again. Does 21 hit? Yeah, it does. 12 points of damage. Probably does nothing to this thing.
Well, it already regenerated 10, so you basically got a +2 on it. That's good enough. We got to keep on hitting it.
We need Ari to do some fire damage to the thing.
It is Ari's turn, and he heard what you asked him to do. So, naturally, he's going to cast Ray of Frost. I mean, no.
I will cut you.
Really?
If you did, my next attack would be against Ari.
So. Yep. My arrow would go straight through his eye socket.
Told you we can't trust him.
You can't trust nobles.
If there weren't party members right next to this thing, I would have him use the wand of fireballs, to be totally honest.
Could he possibly shout, "Get out of the way"?
He goes late enough. Fenix would still get hit by the fireball. Because even if Ari holds his turn until initiative one, Fenix is already gone.
How much damage does the fireball do?
Let's just say there are other ways to keep warm. I'd scroll down to level two spells. He's got Snilock Snowball Swarm. That looks kind of nice. Maybe I should cast that. No.
Cutting will commence.
He's going to do Burning Hands. This thing is large enough that he's able to arc it over. So it doesn't hit any party members, in theory. I forget if this is when he needs to roll to attack. I think this is just
spell?
Burning Hands.
It's a saving throw.
Dex save for half. Okay. And where is his number? I'm playing D&D with someone else's character sheet. I know where nothing is.
Plus. It's 14. DC save 14.
Okay, so we need a 14 or higher dex save. That is a unnatural 20.
Half damage.
It takes 6 points of damage from fire. But because it takes fire damage, it does not regenerate anything next turn. Okay, Ponk, it's your turn.
I'm going to, since no one's told me to get out of the way because of fire incoming, I'm just going to take another swing at it with the can opener.
Cat aggro, but okay, roll for hit.
24.
All right. Give me some damage.
All right. 9 points of damage. Wow.
Okay, so here's the scenario. Ari does Burning Hands, and this wave of fire shoots out and hits the troll, chars a significant portion of its body. And as the flames clear out from its perspective, it sees all these food items in front of it. It's a smorgasbord. Then suddenly the world erupts in flames around it, and as the flames wink out, this very angry gnome is already airborne, flying towards it. And the can opener comes right down on its head and crushes it in.
Nice.
And then you ride the corpse to the ground.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
I would like to just continue smashing its head because I'm raging. So
there's no more head to smash. You've sort of worked your way halfway down to the chest.
Are you Negan?
You're just working your way through the spinal column as much as you can.
Send Shepard over to be cute and calm him down.
I guess it'd be more like,
I like to think that when Punk rages, his voice goes from a high-pitched voice to like a baritone.
But it sounds so awesome.
You know what? I totally forgot. You decided you were going to go to that other town, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this entire time, Fiddle Punch has been cowering with the horses.
Thanks for your help, buddy.
He's not a fighter. He's a scientist. He doesn't fight.
He has ranged attacks, does he not?
You are fighting things that are not native to the world he's lived on for his entire life.
I would still attack aliens if I saw them.
With what? A quill?
Whatever.
Wrap it around a second choke at the death. I don't know.
Harsh language? I don't know.
What are we going to do? Fight him with harsh language?
You clean, not disgusting beast.
Okay, well, as Punk is calming down, and this troll is still kind of smoldering, it does not appear to be regenerating at this point. Give me a perception roll. Everyone who cares to look at the body.
18.
21.
16.
23.
Everything you fought, maybe not the troll. You can't tell with the troll because Punk.
Fire.
No, in this case, Punk, because the fire didn't crush the troll's head in. But all of the gnolls have that symbol branded on their foreheads.
Illuminati.
Stone cutters.
We do. We do.
I have returned.
Play ping pong.
Yeah. I have returned.
Hey. Fantastic. We've discovered who made Steve Gutenberg a star.
Excellent.
Stonecutters.
Yes.
Exactly. No. So the gnolls have been destroyed. For the record, I did NPC you. I used a bunch of your spells. The party convinced me, by threat of Akari going across the Atlantic, finding my house and cutting me.
Which he knows I will do.
To not use Snowball Swarm.
That's a good one.
I will use Dragon Breath.
Wait, against a troll? No, that would be bad. Yeah. That's what Burning Hands is for.
Well, that's what you use.
Which?
I'm kind of surprised that Fenix didn't just breathe fire on this thing, but you know, whatever.
God dang it. Yeah,
but you know what? You got to play with your cool sword. So there was that too.
Yeah.
I'm also kind of surprised that Justice didn't do anything.
Oh, Justice, as the dust is settling and you're noticing the symbol, Justice flies back, and lands in front of Fenix. And sort of presents Fenix with a crow that it has captured.
Oh, yes.
It is significantly dead, ready for cooking and cleaning if you prefer. But it brought you a meal. It's like, okay, you're hunting that big stuff. I'm cool with that. You do you. I can't carry that, so I'm going to go get something I can carry.
Then I'm just gonna take it and eat it right then and there.
Just like pick it up and go.
Yeah, I'm gonna eat it. I'm gonna eat it. Then look at the party. I'm gonna be like, "What a man's got to eat."
I'm on board with this. I'll allow this. I'm totally allowing this. Fantastic.
Usually kick it first, but okay.
Yeah, and Shepard sort of just like looks over at you like. Well, I brought you two things. You're not going to eat them? I mean, Fenix eats what Justice brings him.
Actually, I think talk to speak with animals would still be off at this point.
No, it's been quite some time. You've been traveling all day.
All right, okay.
Hey, all right, there's a nice, beautiful eyeball. Despite that, you know?
I'm just going to kneel down at Shepherd and just going to scratch his chin. Because I don't want to die from the things. He's an idiot. I'm not, honey.
He licks
you. Can I examine the rest of the troll? See if it has any symbols or anything on it? Its head is destroyed, but
Its head is destroyed. You're not seeing anything of note on it other than it's a big smelly troll.
Okay.
So you are still in this.
This thing's.
Sorry.
Did I lag out? Sorry.
Yes, you lagged just a little bit.
Hello, am I good?
Go head over.
No, you're Akari.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal.
I want to walk
baby,
over.
Baby, you make me
punch.
Smile.
Third time's a charm on this. I want to walk over to Feather Punch and ask him if this seems to be accelerating, because gnolls and trolls.
Oh, my.
Exactly.
I say we need more data.
I say we burn them all to make
sure. Michigan rag. Sorry.
There's a dancing frog with a top hat and cane going off in the distance. Yeah. Every time you turn and look at it, it just like sits back down and goes,
I'm just wild about Harry.
This planet seems to be turning into a genetic cesspool.
That's one
way. His last name was Nitrate, I think, not Pool.
I asked Fiddle Punch if he's hungry.
Not anymore, no, thank you.
There's a fresh troll if you're interested.
There's also a fresh wing at it if you want.
I think the troll meat went bad before you killed the troll.
It's locally sourced.
No, but
I think I have scientific data to prove that that is not true.
I point at my dead crow that I already ate.
He turns a wonderful shade of green.
Let's kind of pat him on the back and say, I'm so, so sorry.
To back up for a moment of seriousness, did we figure out the trolls will not, or they will die from fire?
Go
on, Eric.
No, the troll that we got right here, the last basic, a turn, if you will, it was engulfed in fire before it got smashed. And then me and the folks from the other realm know that as far as death, it only dies if it starts its turn with 0 points and doesn't regenerate.
And it only doesn't regenerate if it's been hit with fire or acid. So
I shouted out you.
A warning, and then your character used Burning Hands.
Okay. I have Firebolt as a cantrip, too. If we need to incinerate this thing, I will basically nuke it from orbit until it is gone.
It's already dead. It's fine.
Yeah, but do we know if it's going to get back up?
Right.
So far, it doesn't seem to be knitting itself back together.
Okay.
That's a nice parrot.
I'm happy
we're
with that.
We're in Gore's Gate. So
yeah, we don't want a zombie troll running around.
No, here's the thing. We're in Gore's Gate. As far as we know, everything from Gore's Gate down, like, when we're in Gore's Gate, they shouldn't change. When we go back into the swamp, they'll change.
Not anymore from what you've seen, because this has already been determined before you left Coomeridge, that with the dragon leaving, things that die stay dead again.
Oh, cool.
You have broken the curse.
So we think the dragon... Wait, do we think that the dragon was tied to that curse?
We're 100% positive it was.
If it's not the case, then it's a very interesting coincidence.
Okay. I'm just wondering the link between the assassins with the dragon head daggers and are they tied to this dragon as well somehow?
It was a green dragon with daggers of a green dragon, so I would assume yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm we're piecing things together here. So
could be the dragon's goon.
Well, they could be like a cult of the dragon from like another world, perhaps.
Well, we don't know if this dragon could actually be native to this plane. Right. There are tales of dragons.
Right.
So we don't actually know where the dragon's from, so we don't know.
Okay. Yeah, well, we didn't stop to ask him any questions.
Well, in fairness, we didn't really have time.
Yeah.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Is there any high point in the town that I could climb up to?
There are some sections of the wall that are still somewhat intact. There's huge sections that have been knocked down where it was never a stone wall. It was made out of like logs and stuff. And the logs it was made out of have been scattered in many places like toothpicks in a hurricane. But there are some parts that you can still sort of climb gingerly just because of all the fire damage everywhere. But yeah, you can get to some height.
Was that my fault?
No. Okay. This was like this when you got here. As a matter of fact, everything here that is charred, it's cold. This happened a while ago.
Okay. This is in the Who's On First, where we've now arrived at Who's On First?
No, you're in what used to be Gore's Gate.
Oh, Gore's Gate, right. We saw the fire. We saw the smoke coming from there when the zombies attacked.
Yeah, you saw the ashes raining down.
Yeah.
You do find some bodies as you look for a place to climb up. They look like they've been thoroughly picked over by scavengers. None of them look like they reanimated at any point. They still have their possessions on them. They've been picked over by things wishing to eat. They haven't been picked over by things wishing to loot.
Loot corpses.
Yeah. Okay.
Would this actually be a good place to stop, you think?
I was thinking that we'd be stopping very soon. I was just wanting to know if you were going to be doing any investigating before we put a pin in this.
I think
investigating of the bodies, or...
Yeah. I mean, let's check the bodies first, and then
all right. Yeah. Let's see if there's anything, any useful clues.
Everyone who's investigating, give me a perception check.
Wow, well, now you give me a natural 20. I see.
19.
20, or what? 23.
What, were you going perception. To say investigation check?
I probably should have given a different thing than perception. Perception is pretty much just my go-to if you're looking for things. Mm. But those rolls are high enough that let's just go with that, especially considering the hour of the night. There's no... These corpses have been sitting here for most of the winter. So you can't always tell for sure how they died. But there have been a variety of things. Some of them, their bodies are crushed under rubble. Some of them are very badly burned. But not still alive. Some of them have a tinge to them that those of you with medicinal expertise, like Obame, would recognize as poisoning damage, or maybe that's how they died. There's a wide variety of deaths. There's a lot of carnage. As you investigate the bodies, you're sort of moving around the area. You do find where the gnolls were making camp. It seems somewhat freshly made. They were traveling and came upon this as opposed to causing this. There's been a significant amount of time between when all this wreckage happened, which you have a pretty good idea of when that was, and when these things showed up and made a camp here.
The gnolls and troll, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They do appear to have been making use of the wide variety of meat available to them here, but they didn't kill anything here.
So this is here when we encountered them?
No, we have a mystery. Basically, the gnolls and troll did not do this. That's how I'm picking that up.
Yeah. This happened several months ago, right before the Battle for Croom Ridge, where you were fighting the Ancient Green.
Gnolls and trolls came in, found a bunch of dead people and a lot of fresh meat, and said, you know what? We're going to take advantage of this.
Yes.
Set up shop and live for a little while.
Yep.
I say we set up camp. Lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So you set up camp for the night. Why not a long rest?
Sounds good.
And we will take this up next week.
Yeah, because I use a lot of spells, and I only have two left, so let's go ahead and do a long one.
That would be great.
Yeah, and as the sun sets in the distance, you look over the carnage and say, what's that smell?
It's the crow.
This is tough, guys.
It's the fumes from Obame's burp.
I'm sorry. The only time I rolled a one.